Thank you very much. This is a meeting, we're calling this meeting as a follow-up meeting to the oversight that we have out in Gauteng. We didn't have this presentation in Gauteng because there was a miscommunication in terms of which presentation supposed to be in that meeting. Before we start, I would like us to acknowledge the apology. We have received the apology from the minister as the DG here in the meeting across this building with the press room. We have received the apology from Honorable Grace, the ex. She's not feeling well. There was an apology from Honorable Bassoni, but he's here already.
I'm here.
And we want to take this opportunity to welcome Deputy Minister and the MEC from Gauteng, and we want to appreciate that you honor this meeting. We welcome you. We have visited Gauteng from the 3rd of February. We have visited various areas in Gauteng. So we visited one informal settlement and we get bitten there. but the good part is that they have not bitten the portfolio committee. They wanted their mayor. So because we have read the briefing when we're supposed to go and see the area. When I look behind me, now there was guns, people are beating us. So probably they didn't want us, they wanted their mayor. But we want to condemn that because it's not how we should be treated by our own people that have elected us. So MEC, we have requested the update on the provision of housing in Gauteng, and one of the things that we have requested the department to highlight was just to, we as a portfolio committee, we are acknowledging that Gauteng is one of the provinces that has got more population, and this year it has doubled from the previous number. So we acknowledge that you are the most affected province. That's why our work was decided to start in Gauteng, and so that we can see how we can work together with Gauteng to manage the issue of integrated human settlement and infrastructure provision in Gauteng. And you are most welcome, and I was just briefed that the MEC has lost the matter. And we want to forward our condolences to MEC and say we are grateful that you have given honor after you have received bad news. May your soul rest in peace. So I know that you are supposed to be released at some point. We time and given this so I would say how North America can do this. You know, that's one of the confessions that I've made in my heart, that now there's one thing that we don't have. How would this manage to come here? And thank you very much for coming. MC and the next year. if 10K is battery or 4, or what 10K is also, is part of the prognosis that we're going to keep the money. That's why I say I want to say upfront, because the feeling is that we're giving them 98.5 million to products that are in need of money. The reason for that, they will do their presentation for this, because we are here for just for this, and I was trying to give the background of what is happening in this department. We are going to give them money, and because the feeling is that if we don't take the money from provinces that we not use the money will be taken back to Treasury, and they won't get the money. And we thought that if it's taken and the money is within the department that is housing, things will be better, they will still get the money. There are many challenges as a new person in this department. I found that sometimes the issue of the land in terms of building houses, sometimes delay the process of building houses. So you won't say much that if they are not using the money. Sometimes they're struggling to get the land to build houses. And lastly, because they had a presentation in Gauteng, they are going to present, I don't want to preempt what they are going to say, but I think never is the time to also ask questions from the members. I'm not my team here, I want to apologize on behalf of the department. We are led by Civil Member. The acting DG for housing also attended the same meeting that the minister is attending. So the CEO, she said she was representing the department. And before I give over to the MC, I would love if the members would know who is here. And I'll start from the side, the orphan next to me. Welcome to the orphanage. So just to introduce all of you, thank you very much.
Thank you, Michelle. My name is Lebogang Malile, the MEC responsible for human settlement, urban planning, and co-opted housing.
Good morning, Chairperson and honourable members. My name is Aubrey Mansepo. I'm the acting Chief Director of Human Settlements Planning at the National Department. Good morning. My name is Johannes Makofa. I'm from the National Department of Human Settlements. I'm from the Office of the Chief Financial Officer. Crisis because it is a crisis in Gauteng as a result.
it has got its own challenges. In the National Housing Register, we have about 1.2 million people who are looking for houses in Gauteng. And the grants that we have, that we receive on national, can only cater for 20,000 giveaway houses. But there's other interventions like social housing, for the refit land release program. We aim to release about 100,000 savings stands by in the next 5 years to be part of dealing with the problem, to not necessarily resolve the problems. But the biggest challenge is the institutional challenges that we find ourselves in as a department, which are historical and systematic as well. We might not be able to deal with them today, but maybe just re-highlight that for the last 7 years plus, the department has not been doing well. We have been, I think, year in, year out, overspending, underspending. As a result, we have a lot of aquas that we are dealing with. So one of the biggest issues now has been aquas. So I was telling Minmec, the deputy minister, that our problem is different. It's not understanding. And that's a challenge we have been having in the national department, that it's not understanding, but it's spending on things that are, if you like, you can call non-core, as a result of what is accruals. We spend a lot of money on, and then as a result of the accruals, because of this, a lot of problems, we've got huge litigation. For instance, just on security alone, we had accruals of about 500 million. Then many other millions on planning projects. These are for professional services and all that. So you have then the national say, but we want to see how you spend it on planning, which is a genuine concern. So one of the things we've been trying to do this year, since coming in the last few months, is to try and sort out the accruals bill, because it's not going to go away, whether we like it or not. Most of these accruals are genuine services that have been provided, and government has got a responsibility to pay people. We have made a commitment to pay people in 50 days in Gauteng, but you've got invoices that are many years due. And as a result, small businesses are dying and all that. And then you've got a problem of unfinished houses. And to deal with that, you need something like 12 billion. Our budget is not even, I think the next financial year, we are 800 million less. Currently, we are sitting at about 5 billion from the grant. So it will mean we must spend 2 years, 2.5 years without delivering houses at all, if we're to finish without. So as I said, these are historical problems, and if we have time with the committee at that point, we wouldn't mind discussion in detail, including soliciting your views on how best we can deal with these issues. Because our approach is not to sweep them under the carpet, it's to confront them head on. And then you've got other external problems like illegal legislation, legal occupation of houses, especially in Tshwane area and Johannesburg since 2016. So we do have a problem. We will be modifying that process of evicting people. In certain instances, we've got eviction orders. Because of this, financial problems. We have not been able to import some of them. You know, so like I said, the problem deeper is very complex. So today, because we were asked to deal with housing provision, I was not sure for this financial year, last 2 years, or broadly, but we thought let's confine ourselves to the grant that we receive nationally, and when time permits, we'll be able. Unfortunately, we were not able to join you when it happened because of communication. And as the chair indicated, I would leave at some point once my flight is confirmed, but I would ask the authority to present, and I hope I'll be able to field a few questions before I leave, because I'm interested to also listen to the views of the members. Thank you. So without wasting time, Chair, we'll ask the authority to present, and I don't know how the Chair wants us to present. We have a presentation, but we thought there's few areas that we want to focus on, and I'm not sure when did members receive the presentation, and if they have had an opportunity to go through it, but the AGT will think, try and move through it as quickly as possible so that we can try to chat. Thank you.
Enough time to produce the report.
we are focusing on regions, this regionalization, and that what this has resulted in basically is that it has created fragmentation in terms of planning, which therefore meant that we had little mini departments that were running across all the regions of housing. So we had five regions that were headed by regional managers, and each of those structures basically had their own finance, own HR, and all of those other supporting line items. And what this has resulted in is also overburdening the budget with a lot of people that have been employed in the department. But also what it then did is that these little units did not talk to each other in terms of planning, and this therefore created a lot of fragmentation. In terms of the way forward, there's been critical vacancies. One of AKD, which has been appointed myself, the CFO, has been finalized and will be starting on the 1st of March. We are also now in the process of looking for a critical post to fill in for the program management unit at DDG. In terms of staff accommodation, members may be aware that the building had burned down about 2 years ago, and also this resulted in a lot of challenges for the department fueling the fragmentation that we now see with staff working from various offices, and it's just difficult to do coordination with everyone sitting everywhere. So one of the things that we are now looking at sorting out is we are working on sorting out a new building for the department as the headquarters. And then we've also had weaknesses in the control environment, and this was evidenced by the payment opinion that was received by the auditor, from the auditor general. There were various issues related to finance, related to HR, related to asset management that were raised by the AG, but the main significant thing that came out of the audit is that due to the fire and due to the loss of some of the documentation, there was limitation of scope that led to the disclaimer of opinion. These are issues that we are now trying to resolve. We've just gone out and tender to try and put a service provider that will assist us with the indexing and the sorting and the location of all the files so that we can begin to work towards dealing with issues of limitation of scope. The NEC briefly spoke about the legacy project, which requires 12 million to complete, and as we will be aware, the budget is 5.2 million and was not be sufficient at this point to address all of the legacy projects. In terms of the current state of affairs, continuation, we had a meeting with the developers and contractors to try and see what the problems are in respect of non-delivery, and also just to understand from the side of the developers and contractors what their challenges are in terms of performance. We are charting a way forward from this meeting to try and see how we can review the process of delivering projects. One of the things that we are also looking at doing as a department is to introduce the IDMA, which will be one of the systems that will assist us with proper project management. But also, in terms of the development of contractors, it was interesting to see that some of them, not all of them, are not performing, some of them are performing, but because of its poor internal controls in the department, the ones that were performing were actually left behind. And because of the fragmentation and planning, a lot of the developers were actually left to just do planning, which is horizontal as opposed to vertical, where they plan at a particular point in time and finish the project. The next slide basically just depicts the alignment in terms of the NPSF. I will just quickly move from these ones, and basically what we are showing here, I think this is a summary of the last two slides. What we're showing here is our relevance and how we are responding to NPSF. units that have been delivered against the targets that as members can bear in mind the fact that the business plan is currently under review. And then this is just basically the financial input. So in the financial impact, I think what's important to note from that slide is the sentence that says non-output yielding expenditure. And you will see that in 1819 and 1920 in particular, the non-output yielding expenditure shoots up. And that speaks to the accruals that we are currently looking at together with the litigation that the department has lost. And then in terms of the challenges, our key challenges relate to poor contract management, poor project management, and also this comes from the regionalization structure that I spoke about and the fact that there's a lot of fragmentation. The integrity of planning information to inform development readiness across the spheres of government is also a problem. The non-accountability by municipalities, lack of availability of park infrastructure, and the capacity to handle the infrastructure is also a bit of a problem. In terms of intergovernmental relations, I think we both have challenges in terms of agreeing for alignment of planning where projects should be delivered. Several bids have also performed poorly in the current financial year. Service certificate clearance due to subsidy quantum limitations on roads, stormwater and electrification have not been finalized and issued, and also issues surrounding township belt formalization and confirmation. Those are issues that we are currently faced with. Intervention measures, we're looking at tightening of control, tightening of contract management and project management by the introduction of the IDMS, putting strict measures on monthly reporting. We've introduced systems in the department. We now have monthly structures, S&T and EMT, where reports are done and where we track and monitor performance on the ground. We've also entered into a tripartite agreement with service providers accounting on all transfers to ensure that service providers are paid on time upon completion of work. These tripartite arrangements also include municipalities. We gazette money to municipalities for provision of services, and also we take responsibility for making sure that reports from the work that the municipalities are undertaking on our behalf are received. Capacity of municipalities is also something that we are looking at, and we are getting support from COSTA from all of this. There is now a proper intergovernmental relations committee, which is both a technical and political, that deals with all issues emanating from the ground and in terms of project management and service delivery. Third of these, we are engaging with national on alternatives of addressing planning milestones with the negative impact that it has on deeds registration. That's the end of the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chodzi. I now want to allow all of the members to engage with the presentation.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. do they know those people? By knowing them, do they know where they come from? Who are they? And are they first-class citizen or in that number also they include the people from other countries? And if the majority of them is from South Africa, are they able to know if those people never benefited before from where they are coming from? Because you may find that in the number of the people that migrate to houses, some people will leave their houses that they benefited from human settlement and go become a department in their housing department. And how do they the biggest problem also that the ministry mentioned is on approvals. And he said at the board, and clear that even though they are trying to leave, with them but he mentioned that they are not going to be going away. But They are making plans to deal with it, but it's not going to go away. That to me says it's a very difficult problem that cannot be, that is impossible to resolve. But now then I wonder, Chesterton, because the minister said it is a historical problem. I just want to very clarify it. What does historical problem mean? To say it is a historical problem, does it mean during the time it happened there was no government or there is nobody who can be accountable? It's like something that it has, we know it happened, but we don't know how it happened, and we want to hear if there was government or if there are some people who are responsible, what becomes the corrective measure to deal with those people who brought this department into this mess? Because seriously, this is a mess, and I'm happy that the MEC is honest to accept that. As they have like delivered not even 50% of their target, they are still going to destroy their family. But then, how did we get to this issue, to this kind of situation? Because it is important also to deal with it, because if money was stolen, maybe, if money was lost, where did the money go? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
it because you are paying more for units that was budgeted for? Is it money that's been stolen? Accounts not being paid? What is the real facts around the accruals? And that needs to be explained. Chairperson, and then secondly, the migration to Gauteng, the Western Cape, Northwest, and Mpumalanga is a problem. And the main reason for that is in the other areas, there's no job creation. And if you cannot create jobs in the other provinces, they will flock to areas where they think they are working, creating the housing problem. And we need to address that. You can see, coming to the Western Cape, everybody thinks that the economy is good here. It's a small economy. It's not as, I think Gauteng is about 4 times bigger than the Western Cape economy. They are creating work in this province. And Stats SA said the other day, and that creates the problem. You've got a 70% better chance getting work in the Western Cape than any other place in the world. Now, everybody reads about that, they move here from the Eastern Cape. Most of the people from the Eastern Cape. And in Gauteng, it's exactly the same. All the northern provinces, the people run to Gauteng because there's 15 million people staying there. They've got 50% of the economy in that province. There must be work. That creates a housing problem. And if we cannot resolve the problem that we create work in other provinces, they will all flock there. The other provinces won't have any problem. And Gauteng and the Western Cape, Northwest with mining and Mpumalanga with mining, very difficult problem. Thank you.
Well,
thank you.
Thank you, Chair. We are sure that there is a crisis of housing in Gauteng due to spending a lot of money on accruals, money spent on training, unfinished houses, invoices that are outstanding. Definitely, there are officials who are responsible, you know, to have, for example, paid those invoices, make sure that these unfinished houses are finished, and then planning is done on time, and there are no accruals. So what I want to know is, are there any consequent management towards all those officials who were supposed to account for all these factors which I just mentioned? Again, the Deputy Minister stated that the department is struggling. It is either struggling to get money to protect land, or it is struggling to acquire land to build houses. So, if the department is struggling, why is the department to acquire land, to be able to buy land? Why is the department not persuading the government to rapidly conclude the process of expropriating land without compensation, so that this problem or this crisis My question is, if they are still, you know, trying to make sure that there are measures that are in place to compel the municipalities to be accountable, when are they going to start doing that? And then if they've already done that, meaning, you know, putting in place measures to compel municipalities to be accountable, are all the municipalities adhering to that, to those measures that have been put in place? And if not, what is happening to those municipalities that still refuse, you know, to be accountable, which are not prepared to adhere? Is there any consequence management for those municipalities? And we are talking again, municipalities are unable to handle bulk infrastructure or other forms of infrastructure. Since you are aware, department, that municipalities are unable to handle bulk infrastructure or other forms of infrastructure, do you have a program to capacitate those municipalities so that they are in a position to handle bulk infrastructure? And when you look again on expenditure today, we have professional services expenditure from financial year 2018 to 2020. When you look at those figures, those are exorbitant amounts of money. They are, you know, there are millions and millions of money that is spent. My question is, in order to reduce this expenditure and take some of this money and use it in driving people houses in housing, why don't you, maybe let me start by saying, who are these professionals who are providing these professional services that are so expensive? And then again, after that one, why There are 17 people online in case waiting. People want to go to Joffrey. Now, there's this one of the title thing. I think one another will ask about it. But I'm also interested, maybe the DM can also assist on this one. What is the plan? Because we've been preaching about this title thing, title thing, title thing. When do we think we'll see of issuing title things to people? Is there a time frame? If it's not there, let us be clear upfront so that we can also, because it's also our baby, we've got a responsibility to make sure. The last one. What worries me in this one of the diagnosis is that you still have to ask the national on what to do. Maybe because she is present here today. Mother has assisted him on what is it that they think they would do. Because seemingly you are getting it after me for it. As Nyege, they have tried to cover me. Check your phone.
Honestly, I don't
know
what house for one advice, who is a coach. Is there a
that has been established. And how do you control those pesticides? So if you want to have your pesticides there in America, are they not being invaded? Speak now. The last one is the issue of innovation. The MEP mentioned the issue of rapid climate change, which could be a mechanism to control the land invasion, which could be an intentional strategy blaming those people. When people want houses, sometimes they don't want to wait for rain. Then, if you put them in the city shelters, they come to the city. Do you have a land plan that's going to channel people in an orderly manner with those units, the areas that you have to decide?
Just a few things. The first one is with regards to the issue of the unfinished units or rather houses. To say that obviously money has been spent and the job was not done up to what we wanted it to be. And money has been lost. Are we perhaps adhering to as soon as the house is finished, if they are released, the beneficiary means somebody must occupy the house. And still there, this is not directed to Haldane, let me see, and his team, but maybe to the entire portfolio company, gives this house. The minister at some point, I think last year, actually said that every week will be a week of the issue of title deeds. And I really think that as we pose questions, you know, whether as parliament or the three spheres of government, we must come to a point where we say, at this level of government, this is what we are doing to deal with the issue of title deeds. It's not something that we should be, you know, keep on debating, blaming others. Is it issue of budget? What are the real issues? So that we unlock whatever, you know, is prohibiting, you know, the issue of title deeds. I know that there is someone who has waited now for almost 12 years now to get a title deed. Even last week I was talking to him. When it
I'm just saying, Honourable Chair, we need, you know, to try and resolve this matter of the private deed, because I believe that government is capable of actually solving this problem. I keep on asking questions to government, say number A or B or etc. We need to resolve it. And there is a page, I think page 5 of the presentation, Honourable Chair, where on bullet number 5, where they say that accommodation is the biggest problem. And I would like to understand what kind of accommodation is this. Is it accommodation of staff? Is it houses where our employees are staying, or flats or whatever? Or it is accommodation where maybe the MPC is going somewhere, obviously they must be accommodated there if it is far from where they stay. I hope the minister understands my concern. And the last thing, this is directed to the Deputy Minister. You know, just like there is a backlog in Gauteng, of the people who qualify to debt housing, I think there is a backlog in the entire country. I know, for example, that in Nongoma, in Spanish, Deputy Minister, there is a backlog of 15,000 units. And the advertising and the appointment of the implementing agents was done. Some work began, and later nothing could happen. Construction was not done. In Kana, for example, in Mlala, many areas on our beaches. And I thought that even when budget constraints exist, but it must be seen to be moving. Even if we build one house a year, every year, but at least we are moving, rather than, you know, some areas where things are quiet. So I think that, Honourable Deputy Minister, we need to get closer, because in some municipalities, or rather provinces, they are really stuck, and I really don't understand what is the problem. So I just thought I need to raise these things, Honourable Chairperson, to the delegation that is here in front of us. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Honourable Deputy Minister.
Good morning, Chair. The difficulty I have in asking MDC my question is that I know for the fact that in our tradition, it should be speaking public. So, if he does not answer me, I will not have an issue with that. We are coming from one place, so traditionally we shouldn't be speaking to public. Chair, honestly speaking, I might come from a different area. The minister in the IPP that we had and adopted last gave us a national program that they had in human settlements and the development there. Among those was this accrual, among those was this administer, among those was this litigation, among those was this migration and immigration. For example, in Mpumalanga coming from all the outskirts of Mpumalanga migrate to Mbombela. In Mpopo, all of them migrate to Pulukwane. In KZN, to Ekurhuleni. In Cape Town, all the Eastern Cape, Northern Cape, and all others to Cape Town. But the difficulty is that all these provinces migrate to Hong Kong. So there's no way for us to understand the issue of migration into Gauteng. In Gauteng, it's not only people who are looking for jobs that go to housing. It's rich people that are looking for business. And when they arrive, they demand business. So I thought that the minister in the ICT gave us that particular instance right now. Now, if in the case, I cannot do it. And then the issue for the sense of the accruals, and the MC spoke about the accruals. The biggest money we are paying is for people that did not pay and they have done services for us. And the reason being that I'm from housing, I was an MMC at some point, professional plan in housing. When you give land, you get people that will challenge you to take it to court. The financial year goes by and it's not paid. There are two other people of food that haven't paid and haven't paid the taxes. What about not the process? You cannot do it because there is a court case. The court case goes on the financial year. The money is not paid. If there is a few, there is a demand for the following financial year. And it's a simple matter of the national money. But, and I think when we think of it, I understand that was not necessarily to be a process of not being able to do work, but the process that impedes or inhibits you from doing things within the agreed upon time frame. And it is not a question of inability to do, but the process was allowing to do it. But there are questions that, to me, just to ask the people to propose, but everything with the due respect for what I said in now, if the HOT asked to me to propose, but you are saying of the 12 billion that you need, you can only get about 5 billion. And the question you are asking us is to, which we need to take care of that. If you, and this is for unfinished cities, we need 12 billion, but you only get 5 billion to do that in terms of the grant. And you say, if we, it means you might need 3 financial years to give a 5 billion that each to give with a 12 billion network. Now the question is, must we stop building new houses and repair this one? Where I'm sitting, I think that can be the answer can be yes. But it doesn't help to build new houses that will not finish when there are unfinished ones, and people that don't occupy the unfinished ones when we are building a new house. It does not help you. If you take the 5 billion there to finish the unfinished one, you at least occupy those unfinished ones and go to the ones unfinished, finish finalizing it, and then you can, and I think communities can understand this and tell them that, look, I want to build this house. Give me 6 months, they will be finished with enter, and you are not engaging yourself into new building. I think that can be problems, but this issue of unfinished business continues on the basis of wanting to break new houses, that's what happens. And I think you really need to try and see whether you are not going to win the minds and the hearts of people that are waiting for houses for forever because you are not finishing. But also in business, you are saying you want to move your offices from wherever they are to one similar. It's a nice to have. It's not going to be eating on your bigger budget. If yes, it's better. If it is, it is something that nice to have that can wait and give you the bigger needs of society rather than the comfortability of the office space and the capacity to be using now computers to communicate even far away from near one another or faster than one another. And I think that it, to me it might be the necessary thing. Now, does the process impede you as a deputy minister? Does the process impede you? For instance, if you have budgeted to build 16,000 houses, I'm giving an example, and you can only afford to build 7, does the process impede you from building the 7 report later of why you can build the other 8? Because this issue of the language, the issue budget or to view a program agreed. In this, you need a structure that's the budget to agree. But if you actualize, you don't need, because you can come and report that of the budget I said on week 20, with the money given to me, I only managed to bring 10. I still work towards bringing the 20. But once you bring it as a reviewer, they need to review, you will be impeded by the process. The process works because you are not taking a deliberate decision to change from the agreed upon process. But then the acceleration is when you now speak to us as to where you are and how you are going to move on. I'm not sure whether it impedes you from doing that. And I think I've got it as well. To me, I think that was important, but I think it is a matter too. And then it is where that emanates from, and I think it is from what I just said. The issue of the application to level 3 of municipality, this has been the provincial bill of ours. How does it create this impediment of building? It is not municipalities that have got license to build unless they are accredited to that level 3. And the process in between, how it is not the part of the process that we need to work towards in order to do away with the time in between. And also I think we need to emphasize more on what is the impact of this litigation by different people. For example, I was dealing with a very big organization that impedes government from working in the community of the high-tech building, both in office space and also in residential space, of the unused open space. That 30% of the land in the building is owned by the Oppenheimer, whom you don't see in 6 years, but the people that keep on that stopping you from expropriating them, taking you to court and taking you to court. Well, let's just say they are not only in that land, but they are not also servicing the land and they are not paying for the land. What is it that you want to do to bring about that education process is better to what I'm saying? We can proceed to alleviate and benefit our people. But also me, in finalizing, it do tell us in the report that the minister in her ICPS program, she wants to speak on that program, but the processes are now concerning the actual program of that ICP process that we will adopt it with all these programs. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mashiro. Maybe just to get clarity on the adding to questions of members, acknowledging the presentation, and indicate that when in your remarks you are saying that we have directed you to raise particular issues and you wanted to engage with us on broader issues around issues of integrated human settlement. I think probably because it's a continuation of the program that we had in Gauteng. We started the briefing that we had as we arrived in Gauteng was broader by the National Department, which included the infrastructure provision. And one of the things that we're looking at, one of the programs that we're looking at in the province was how to manage your informal settlement, acknowledging that the infra is the problem. But what then would be the management of that? program as a follow-up to my shareholder question. And one of the things that we're looking at is he was to say, in terms, and we've spoken about pre-implementation or fragmentation of planning, which again, as we decided to visit housing, we wanted to see how does housing dealing with the real issues that were even raised by the planning and monitoring during our engagement with us. One of it was the people who have benefited in Limpopo and come in Gauteng and become the fighters of new accommodation in the area, causing all disruptions in the city or in the province. And we say that because we know the department has got the system to pick up the. But we're saying, what then? What is it that you do about that test? Here's the next test in Limpopo, or extending, or KwaZulu-Natal. But we saw the opportunity in housing. And it is indigenous, or obviously it might be he, because there are not majority of women who leave the house to go in for a job in most times. So the question is, which is not the problem of housing, it's a problem of lack of how do we formulate the policy that deals with these issues. The other issue is on the one of the things that we have picked up in the country is that you have these farmers who have big farmland decided to then farm the instead of farming the crops and farm the team equipment around those areas, increasing the burden in the quality of the province. Do you have such problems in housing, and how are you handling it? Because this land belongs to a private owner, and this private owner decided before the proclamation or going through the process of proclamation, he then goes and allocates people's land in his farm. How do you have such problem, and how are you handling it? And from our view, that the problem is housing. GM does not need housing. And we know that you have metros that are building houses. And one of the things that we actually say is metros are getting the grant for power supply. How does metros work with the province in an integrated manner that you are able to deal with the growth of your population provide safe sites for people and because if we have to look at housing, you would never win the problem of providing housing for people because of the nature of housing. But what would be an intervention that can assist housing would be more on social housing, because people from Limpopo, they want to work there. If they get to work, at least they can services. So there's the issue of social housing in my view would be very helpful and setting of things, and as you are saying, you're going to release lots of land, people get land of their own. And the planning and monitoring, one of the things that they raised was that in provision of housing, which were witnessed in funds, when we were being briefed about the informal settlement, one gentleman behind, probably the one who caused the violence, was that as the White Chancellor and MEC briefing us, said, you have taken my bed and put it to your welfare. And one said to disrupt the brief. But the issue has been, which is raised by the planning and monitoring and evaluation, was that the issues of beneficiaries and how we relocate people to other areas create a problem. So which needs to be looked at as you deal with your challenges. And I'm not going to repeat the issue of approval, which has been said. All the members, most of the members have raised those issues. So we are now going to allow the department to respond and start with the MEC because here you are leaving. Yes, you can do the MEC.
Yeah, nothing's checked. These issues. So, Honorable Mashiku, I think my mom would have wanted me to go to. Yeah, she was a unionist. You might know, yes. So she actually inspired me as well to be politics. So she would have wanted to be here. So that's why I answered. But I also thought it would be unfair on the HOD because she only joins us now in December. But for me, it's not just about my understanding. It's not based on the role I pursued. I've been in the provincial executive council since 2010. So I've got an appreciation of these issues since then. So it's not just because I've been there now 6 months. So I thought it would benefit the committee that I raised some of the issues, although I will not be able to get into some of them in detail. I may not have recorded the names of all the members, so I won't be responding per member's name, but the issues that have been raised, though there are a number of duplications as well. The issue of immigration, I think she always tried to further explain, not just about work. For instance, we've got 4 tertiary institutions. It's the only problem that is that in health, in the health. So there's 4 tertiary institutions in health, in Khartoum. Then you've got one of the biggest in the southern hemisphere, which is Barra. 42% of the total production in the industrial production takes place in Khartoum. 42% of the total people employed are there. So I can go on and on, the number of tertiary institutions, research and all that. And it's not just people from a different province. You have people from all over the world, not just the continent, for a number of reasons, as you've said. And that's why when you look at our issues and our challenges, they are far more complex. Even the issue of immigration and all that. Although some of the issues that the members are raising are indeed contributing as well. And that's why we always emphasize that we must take interest in the development of our sister provinces. So it shouldn't be about Gauteng, because if you don't, then the problems will come into the problem. So if when time permits, we can discuss that in detail about these issues. I'm not sure, we wouldn't know who are these people. I thought that's the national function. Population register and migration and so on. Home Affairs, yeah, it's cool. We don't know, but we know there's 300,000 people. We know where they are. We might not know who they are, but we know where they are. Region by region, area by area, because that information is available through StatsSA amongst others. But our municipality centers as well are doing it also. We know that most of them come to us, they are in the metros largely. And that's why for us to flex, we need to understand the population trend in the province. So we will have that information. But as to what they are, where they, we wouldn't know what we know what they are and where they are. That we know. And whether they've benefited or not, you will know, because the national, what's called HHSS, the system that is national, has all that information. That's why before we allocate the house, there must be an authorization to that system. So if you have benefited, that's where the system will kick you out. And I think the DM can speak better about that, but the system is centralized. And we also tried previously to plug into the system by introducing a biometric a system and all that to try and engage those issues. So the issue of what do you mean by historic, okay, they've occurred before now. And this are expected that that's 7 years plus. So it could have been more than 7 years or eight. So that's why these issues in the province. There was a time where, and then we can get into the reasons what caused them. So there was a time where the department used to get a clean audit. And then there was another period where we engaged in what we call regionalization. I think that's where the problem started in the department, so to decentralize and all that. Where we are now, fast forward, without getting into those details, we're sitting with the disclaimer for the opinion, the handout for the finding. So our posture is not to say, no, we're not there. So our posture was to sort of understand what caused these issues and then we deal with the problem. And one of the biggest issues is that the leadership turnover in the institution, both MEC and HODs, have been, I mean, in the last term, the department has led is 3 MECs and then 3 or 4 HODs. So where there's instability, people know that HODs just left. While the HOD is trying to stabilize and understand, they'll do all sorts of things. So there's a range of reasons why this has happened. The issue of leadership is one of them. And as I think some of the questions are dealing with that, the issue of the mega project. So the honorable member said 3 mega projects. When we got more, that you can say the services, the schools, I was thinking Clayton, because it's from Ecuador. Clayton, and one of the reasons I'm living in Clayton, he also has a curious school there. Because the idea of this mega project has been that we should also attract private sector investment. You can go to Elijah Bahai in the Western. One of the important things they do there is the actual manufacturing of material inside. So this is also dealing with the issue of economic transformation, empowerment, and all that. So we can go on and on. Fortunately, last week we had a meeting with the mega projects, help us to deal with the issues in details, because we also have concerns on a number of areas in terms of how we can move faster and all that. The issues about land invasion that have been raised, so there's several measures we're going to put in place. So maybe let me start by saying we are going to remove the U.S. occupied land. That was the only reason we have not moved fast enough now is the budgetary constraints. We are going to remove this. That's one. Two, we've put the strategy in place now, and one of the things in that strategy we're dealing with is the prevention. So the most important thing is to prevent. And you'll ask how and how do we work with municipalities, with the law enforcement agencies, with communities. And then we also are in the process of applying for what we call a blanket court order to prevent this phenomenon. So there's several measures we're putting in place, but we are in the process, we will remove people. Unfortunately, the problem is watching why Swahili and Johannesburg since 2016. The people who are affected by floods, and I'm not by the way, is as a result of land invasion. They were placed in an illegal, low-lying areas in the name of revolution and military. And so now, when there's flood, our people are dying. We have to intervene. So it's one of those examples I want to deal with. And that's why the issue is not whether we frustrate expropriation without compensation. That we will do, and the processes are underway. But we've got land, government land, both provincial and national. It's not habitable. There's no savings. So people can expropriate that land, but the land is not habitable. The question is, you need to invest water, electricity, and other bulk infrastructure for that land to be habitable. So you have a lot of people occupying some of this land illegally. There's no savings there. And that becomes a disaster. So, and that's why I think we should have a structured discussion, which we don't have a problem to understand that issue. And yes, we are allocating people houses as we build. And there's a big question as well about how to put in their houses if they don't have owners. They have owners. There's a place in Odiman or Old Bosch where built houses have been illegally occupied. The owners of the houses in Moy Plus, in Fuma settlement, are putting pressure that evict them or we will do it ourselves. It can create problems between or amongst communities. And that is the other issue that is to be raised about the illegal occupation. It is the potential to create violence amongst our people. So those who do it, I think, because they are mindless, and we also need to understand this phenomenon in the housing. You have people who are doing it for commercial purposes, not just so those who do it for political purposes. There's people who do it for commercial purposes. If you go to the Nigeria area, you will have 2,000 plus Thomas Allen chefs. Most of them are empty. There's no one staying there. So that when you relocate those people, there will be ghost owners who will then end up having multiple houses so that they can rent those houses and all that. So that's why I'm saying time for me to give you that detail. And then the issue of what can you put across, I think Member Bashir explained this earlier. And across doesn't mean there's money stolen. But what it means is that there was work done and not paid for, despite that it was budgeted for in that financial year. And because this work is done legitimately, So you have lost the money in that financial year, of course. You might not have paid for a number of reasons. One of the reasons might be that the work was done and not complete, and therefore the department could not pay. Because remember, the department needs to boost for the pool as well. If, for instance, you appoint somebody to develop plans for you, you might appoint you now in February, you only finish the plans in June. The budget ends in March, end of March. So that becomes an accrual. There's various ways of dealing with accrual. You could roll over money, and Treasury will decide whether they grant the rollover or not, depending on the reasons. If they don't grant the rollover, you must find the money in your budget. And what it means is that you are left in your budget with whatever amount that you did not use in that financial year. The other the reason for accrual is that, see, when you build a house, the house has different milestones. So the quantum for the last year is 160,000. There's a certain amount allocated for a foundation, for the wall plate, and for the roof. So you might find that you have built until the roof, or rather the wall plate. So we don't pay you for the roof, or you have built until the foundation, we don't pay you for that. So it gets to the next stage and all that. And then later on, you have an interrelated issue of unfinished houses on this. So accrual doesn't mean that the money that is stolen, no. And that's why we have to pay the money now, and we're doing that. And then the affected officials were affected against them. At least since we came into one of the officials, we had to fire without hearing summary, something like that. Because when we looked at the, and we are also investigating, we like to pursue charges. Because we think this official was conniving with the security companies. These houses that are not finished, we hire security companies and all that. We found that there were a lot of security companies giving work without quotations, and they accumulated to about 500 million rand. One of the things that makes us fight the National Department is that we can't buy 500 million for security. We're not in the security business. We're in the business of building houses and all that. So that's another story which we can discuss. So we are acting. That is true. And here, for the most case, you are told you are acting against junior officials. We have acted against the DDG, a chief director and a director. None among them is below senior level. So we will, and the DDG, the chief director, issues coming from the AG's findings. They are suspended. We hope that in the next month, their matters will be finalized. So we are actually. Well, there's always purchase for the budget. The question whether there's no budget some year there, they choose to be that late, but I'm not sure. There's always. And I must emphasize that one of the things we're doing now, we don't just purchase that. We want things that, because we can purchase land. And that land will stay idle because you can't place it, you can't develop. So if you want to give us land, because we don't want to buy land, we have land, therefore there's a lot of land. Municipalities, province, national, live in appropriation without competition, which is something we pursue unapologetically. But the land that we have, it's not safe, including a lot in the private sector, because no one will just need up to save their land if they don't have plans for it and all that. So we are encouraging them to save it and then buy the state. So that is very important. And we can have that discussion so that we can immediately deal with these issues. So municipalities does another issue which was raised when I took measures to compel them. So in Gauteng, human settlement and co-opt are two different departments. They might have one entity, but they're two different departments. And I will have to deal with the issues of time, with the committee, this one, the co-opt, what we do. We're doing a lot. That's why you would have seen we have given a lot of planning budgets in municipalities. And I don't want to dwell into that. We're doing a lot to deal with the issues of capacity in the municipalities. But from the human settlement point of view, those who are not delivering, we withhold their money. Because if we don't, national withholds us anyway. So we end up not getting that money. So we withhold the money and all that. And that's why they show capacity, they respect this. In my other capacities, in the court, we have a plan, we're dealing with that, and we can engage. So, professional services, you know, we always say let's improve the capacity of the state. And then we also say spending a lot of money. Our personal budget is a lot. We pay a lot of money in salary. And then we say we should spend a lot on consultants. So that's contradiction. You must do one of the two. You must either increase your salary bill, government, which I don't agree with, doesn't make sense at all, or you must strike a balance, have the capacity in the state, and then you must also outsource those functions that are not core in the department. So the issue of professional services must be understood in context. It is necessary. One of the things that you can avoid is what we call professional indemnity. So if an engineer constructs a building, whether it's bridge or whatever, if that bridge falls, the engineer concerned must take personal responsibility and what you call insurance and all that. So if you don't appoint this professional, what it means is that if Mashiko is an engineer or a chief engineer of the department and he takes that responsibility, yeah, well, I'm not talking about this one. I'm talking about Mashiko who was in the department. So if that Mashiko is a chief engineer in his personal capacity, it means that the chief engineer must take. There is no government official going to do that and who's able to do it. So that's one aspect about it. But the second aspect is that you also need a multidisciplinary team in dealing with some of the issues, things like geotech and town planning and all that. It's not that you don't have those people in the department. You have them. But the people in the project within the space, as well, they're saying the good model is that you can't be a regular and a player at the same time. You design, plan, build, monitor, and all that. So that's why these people will be able to help us to look at the contractors, and then our professionals help us to look at them and the contractors. So the argument that has been raised about professionals, you can just as well say, why are we not building this house ourselves, and all that. So I think it's an ideological discussion that will need us to pursue based on our understanding of what is the state and what kind of state we need and all that. But from where we are sitting, these costs are justified. And fortunately, these costs are regulated. So we don't decide how to pay them. There are regulated costs which this national body deals with. And then the issues of the reasons for underperformance. There's various reasons. various reasons for underperformance. As I said, the first one is that this is historical. The second one, the leadership turnover in the department, which has caused a lot of instability. The others were issues of project management. So those are some of the reasons that is. The use of deviations and variation, I agree with the member who say this becomes a problem. And that's why we have, once the SOP came into the decision, no deviations, no variations. Because most of the legislation that comes there, it comes from these deviations and variations. And you would understand that in construction, certain projects you bound to have variations. And for instance, if you were to build a house, and as you dig, was you never expected that there would be a rock. So there's a rock there, and in your cost you did not plan for it. So you must deviate in the price of cost. The contractor gave you a price that does not include removing a rock. So there will always be the issues how to manage them. From where we are sitting, we think that the provision has been abused. That's why we said stopping deviations and variations. It will be under exceptional circumstances after the consideration by the head of department that they will be approved. So we are dealing with that issue. And EPWP, I mean, we're saying, okay, then there's an issue of preference of contractors. The contractors, we are in the process of existing some of them. We are working with NHBRC. Some people are saying houses have been built, not finished, it means money has been lost. No. Because the process is regulated and you are paid per milestone, one of the problems is that in the previous few years, that has contributed nicely to what there is unfinished houses is that when you build a house, as I said, it's regulated, the prices are regulated by national. The bulk of the money is in foundation and the roof. So a lot of contractors make money after they put the roof, it's a lot of money. They put the plate, they get paid and they leave the project. There isn't much left for them on the work rate and all that. So that was one of the reasons, not the only. There would have been other reasons like business forums and all that. Then there would be other reasons about mismanagement of their own companies. So they get paid a lot of money in foundation, they don't have money for the whole place now. They come back to the department, can you give us an advance? No, we can't. Build them. And then they went, go under. So there's a whole range of issues. Those that have started the foundation, they have not finished. We have agreed with NHBRC. We have to identify them and we have to blacklist them so that they don't do work with them. Unfortunately, a lot of these are becoming businesses, black owned and all that, unfortunately. And that's why we say, how do we help them to be able to, but we will not pay them in advance. That's not the risk we are prepared to take. So there's not the money lost because houses are not finished. The PWP, I'm sure members will know the standard public program, policy of government throughout. So as one of the departments we are implementing this, I won't get to check the issues of fraud and corruption. Corruption is another big problem. Have to deal with it as well. And I've already stated one case, the security. You have a situation, part of the accruals is what we have been paying what is called standing time. So if a contractor is on site and you delay that contract as government, because they've got their machines, people on the side and all that. In terms of the law, the regulation of this country, there's what is called standing time. You end up paying these people standing time. So you have had a lot of that previously. People working together to connive against government and create a state of time. Those are some of the things. There's one case in fighting now. You say we're not going to pay. These people want 55 million or so for the same time. Projects that happened over many years previously. Then you have had a lot of evergreen contracts, what you can call that, people renewal, man to man, and all that. So there's a lot of disorder and anarchy and all that. As I said, and our posture has been to admit that it's a problem, because if we don't, we will not be able to deal with it. And we are to deal with it. I dealt with the issue of municipalities that are not performing and all that. I'm happy any day to deal with that, but not now. And yes, we do have a plan of dealing with that for us. And one of the most important things about dealing with them is to pay. It's clear, you must clear them. The ones that we have, we must, we have no choice. Some of them are court orders. Unfortunately, some of the people want to attack our properties and all that. So we must pay. We have no choice. That's one. But two is to have good project management. Because once you have good project management, you will not have poor. You will, a lot of them, you will prevent it because you will be managing issues properly. So we are dealing with that, and we do have a plan, and we're dealing with the issue. Yes, I dealt with the issue of the system that captures the beneficiaries. The national system, the GM, we can speak today about that. Someone has raised the issue about the structure. Well, I think we will clearly accept and appreciate that the committee can give us a template, which we didn't have now. So we will just assume and decide what we think is important for the committee to know. So if the committee says here's the template, we will populate the template. Then we will just go come and speak about housing provision. Like I said, didn't understand what does it mean. Last year, before last year, the chair did try to raise all that. Yes, the province has the OD unit. I mean, a province like ours does have in the department and in the previous office. And that's not the point, it's not the, whether you have the OD unit or not. No, that's not the point. The point is, like I said, the problem is leadership. When leadership fails, then governance, the systems, then people can do as they wish because they know this MEC spends 9 months. After 9 months, is another one. That one, they try to understand what's happening. They do as they wish. Because, you know, to run a department is not a very easy thing. Very complex. It takes time to understand dynamics and all that. So people will take advantage, obviously, because of that. And then sometimes when you come and you find that there's a problem, because you don't have enough time to fix the problem, you think that bringing people will help you solve the problem. And then you create post additional structure, for instance, which does not help. So that's why I was saying, I would think like the whole day we can have a discussion. So I'm just dealing with these issues in passing and just to report, I mean, respond to specific issues. So the issue of unfinished houses, there's various ways to deal with this. So the first one, there are houses that you can finish, almost a roof plate or a roof, and in the budget we do have some money called legacy. We deal with that, but it will not solve the problem. The second issue that I spoke about, foundation, is to convert some of those unfinished houses into rapid land release. So we have a foundation, those who can build for themselves, we give you a title deed to finish this foundation. So the policy matter which we are already taking to our provincial executive council, of course, we will never finish. I wouldn't say don't build, I would say decide to be beautiful. So it must be built for the elderly, the disabled, the most vulnerable society. And then everybody else give a safe standard. So that's one of the practice. And then we will be able to, that's why we're looking at different typologies. So it's not just the, what you call it, GPR, you've got social housing there, you've got subsidies, you've got bonds. That's why the concept of mega settlement and then repeat land and all that. So that's our strategy. And then that includes dealing with our control service side, because we've got a lot of them that are there, which we have to allocate and deal with this. And we agree with the members that rapid land release should be seen as a mechanism to fast track and deal with this issue of land. Do we have a land plan? Yes and no. Yes or no, because the land that we have, we would be able to know where is it, what we want to do with it. So that's the plan. But that plan is not integrated. That plan is not looking at all the different spheres, because you've got national government that has land, which is in Gauteng. You've got municipalities who've got land and all that. So the issue, that's why when I explained earlier on that my portfolio includes urban planning. So we have deliberately said the MEC was responsible for cooperative governance in the province and always deal with urban planning, because as you know, space utilization is largely the competence of municipalities. So the alignment will be easier. Because the IGP processes, as you know, require the MECs of COPTA to liaise and sign off and all that. So in that process, you make sure that there's an alignment. So I've answered that question in two ways, and obviously to raise other questions that we can deal with in the future. Then the issue of illegal occupied houses are dealt with. Whether the beneficiaries, yes, they do. And then the title deeds. So there's several reasons why we're giving people title deeds slowly. So I'm saying slowly, but it's not like we're not giving people title deeds. We are, but not as fast as we should be. So that's the first important thing. So you've got issues related, in Gauteng you've got a unique situation of what we call family titles. So we have what we used to call families. So a house is owned by a lot of people in the family, or everybody, and they have what they call a family. So the new dispensation did not cater for that. That's one issue. You've got the issue about estates. Sometimes contested and all that is another issue. And then you've got an issue about conditions that make it difficult for proclamations of townships and all that. And if there's no proclamation, you can't issue titles and all that. So we are, and then in certain instances, the owners have sold the houses. They are no longer there, you can't find them. So there's a mirror of issues, it's not one size fits all. So we're dealing with that, we've been working with the municipalities, and one of the things that we say to them is to work on uplifting certain, some of these conditions so that we can deal with that. So we do have a plan. We have started since in the last 6 months, we've seen some progress. We have had meetings where the MEC met with mayors, senior managers responsible for planning, for human settlement and infrastructure in municipalities to deal with this issue. So we are confident that in the next 2 to 3 years we should be able to correct this issue. So there's several reasons why. So the accommodation honourable member, it's not place to sleep, the place to work. We're raising it because, remember, the Bank of Lisbon, where the Department of Health, you know, it was actually Department of Health, Department of Human Settlement. it has recently been demolished. So we are the only department now, COFTA is getting offices now, but the only department that still doesn't have offices. People are all over. And that money, Honorable Mashego, is not what comes from the grant. The grant is to how it's spent, touching. So the money that the province gives, and anyway, you must have a budget for office centers. And the problem is we've got too many centers all over. Remember, I said one of the big problems was the dean that's only not. I used to be in economy, so now I'm talking about being the strategy. It was the regionalization and decentralization that has been the problem. And this was not necessarily about the physical location of the offices, but the physical execution of the function. So you find that every region is doing its own supply chain, every region is doing its own thing. And that's why you end up with a lot of money for planning and all that. Every regime has its own finance and blah, 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 blah. And that's why you end up with some of the people that are sitting in the regime. You only discover them later and it becomes a poor. So it's one of the issues. So having an office, it's not a luxury. It will also help, of course, we've seen the regime, but to do other things like being saints, poet. Not doing some of these things that they've been doing. So this accreditation, if you ask me, it was premature. It was premature, should not have been done. One of the reasons we are in this mess is the regime. Take the city of Tswan. For the last many years, not only now, because it's governed different by different, but many, many years, I think the province would have given them what I had the figure that day. I think, I'm not sure, 3 billion or whatever. But if you look at the number of the houses, there's no correlation. Just now, they have something like $200 million. They're not building in one house. So, national state, but you're not building houses. Spending money. We're taking your money because you don't know what to do with it. And those houses are supposed to be coming from there. So this decentralization is not going to be internal, even with the municipality. So if you ask me, it doesn't work. Rather have municipalities dealing with the issues of land, of or whatever, then the province must build. So the weather plate, in my view, if it doesn't work, I will motivate that it has to be discontinued, if you ask me. That's why it's a disaster of monumental proportions. And unless we adhere to what we want to do, we are going to engage in a leisure setup, and we will accuse each other. So next year we come here, I might not be MEC, I might be Mongolia ambassador, whatever, whoever comes here, we'll repeat the same issue. So I think we must fix the system, and that's what we're working on, to fix the system in housing, the housing delivery, supply, and value chain. That's what we want to fix, and not just in the province, even with the municipalities. And once we've done that, we'll be able to deal with it. The impact of litigation is huge. I don't want to get into the details. Management of informal settlements in the life of the is big, but also you will appreciate that at the national level there's been a process of the what I'll call categorization of these informal settlements as categories 1, B, C, and all that. Those informal settlements that will not be relocated, we will develop them where they are. There's those that can get partial services. There's those that will be relocated. As to whether we've got a comprehensive plan, I don't think we do, because the other problem is that some of these functions it were treated by municipalities, others by us. And then you've got the issue of ratification in the to that. And then the private landowners, this is always the problem. For instance, with a landowner in Ekurhuleni, the municipality, his land is occupied legally. The municipality went to court to seek for what is the eviction order. The owner is contesting the municipality, saying, no, no, this is my land, why do you evict people from my land? But those people don't have services. They want services from the municipality. And in fact, the municipality wants to take them. The municipality has identified alternative land for these people, which has services. But he's saying, no, don't relocate these people. They must stay here. So you also have those issues. And then, because he wants the municipality to buy that land for him, and our people, unfortunately, are used in that process. The alignment with municipalities, I have explained the issue about the function of urban planning and how we plan to use it. Because in the laws, there's a provision for MEC responsible for COPTA to reject the IPPs of municipalities. It has never happened. It has never happened before. It will happen now in Gauteng, where if there's a municipality that does not meet certain requirements, will object to their IPPs, and they will have to take us to court. So it will. So we are also going to enforce this issue of alignment, of planning, and all that. So I thought, Chair, I should deal with those issues in the fashion that I have, because the HOD, as I said, is just now in December, and these issues predate anyway this term of office. And because I had the privilege of being in EXCO since 2010, I have a contact. Thank you, Chair, and I'll also ask to be excused. Thank you.
Thank you. So we are going to do that now. We made a mistake before of not of working without informing communities that this is a site. So we're now looking at that. Once we get the beneficiary list, it was raised by one of the members, we will definitely work with communities to inform them that if this is your house, then they will definitely look after the site. So there won't be a problem in terms of Chair, again, I do want to say, in terms of the target, I want to make an example of Udansana, where I come from, those people don't have target. But we need to do now, though the NSA has passed some of the areas that I'm going to talk to, but our intention is to give a terrorist the day we get a fight. And once you get the fight and inform the beneficiary, that person is a his or her terrorist. And that's the area that we're looking at. Otherwise, the issue of proclamation, which was mentioned by the Honorable Feke, is another problem. And I think, again, the issue of district delivery model, which was launched, it's going to help us to interface and work, and don't work in silence with all municipalities. And I think it's really going to assist most departments, more especially to interpret their human settlements, working with municipalities in terms of serving us, so that we don't work in silence. So there's something that was passed around the notification that we do have. We have a budget for education, which I think the CFO will actually help us detail whether we do have money or budget for education. So I think one of the things that we're looking at is that because it was raised by Chair, the low-cost housing, the social housing, that we are dealing with that. We have a policy that is looking at low-cost housing in all provinces. So I think the department will go into details in terms of the low-cost housing, because I think it's the area which will benefit many people if we have low-cost housing as well. Not everybody comes here to build or to stay, but they are here to work. Like people that are working here in Parliament, I want to make an example, and some of them are nesting. They can pay rent on low-cost social housing, which we are dealing with. The biometric chair of your past the system of biometrics, but go into details of systems that are there to catch people that are actually tuning for housing. If people are giving houses, there's no need for them to tune for another house. But I think what was raised by Honorable Bana, what do we do with a person once that person is found to be having housing and again coming? Because some of them, they sell the houses and go and chew again for another house. Then I also request the Department of Housing along those lines. But I think the first thing that I know that which was raised in front of me that will take that house. And maybe there are further details in terms of if you are found guilty because they are stealing, if you are given a house and again you choose for another house, it means they are stealing. What is it that we do with I think the chair, the idea of inviting provinces to come to national, it again helping us as national departments. I think I like it for me particularly, because you get to know how serious we go to the province and say, please make sure that this is how, this is the housing is built. So the idea of inviting provinces to come to national, it's also going to help the national department so that they fast track some of the things that are delayed. I think I'm going to, at this juncture and request the department to actually get into details of money with the certification of the housing, not how they within the department itself to get into details. Also, other questions that might have been left in the state, if you could talk to those. Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Honorable Chairperson, I will start with just adding in terms of the title deed. To say the stance that the department gets
because at the time we did not have the NHBRC, which is core responsibility is to take care of the quality assurance of the houses that are being built. So the only verification that is still happening is if the houses were delivered prior to 2002, because from 2002 onwards, NHBRC is expected to provide the quality assurance. And therefore, the inspectors that are inspecting each and every house from the foundation and in all the stages, should it be discovered that later on the house is not of good quality, then NHBRC is also expected then to take ownership of that and deal with that matter. Because to start off with, if I want to build a house, I must also make sure that the developer or the contractor that is building my house is registered with the NHBRC. So should there be any fault thereof, then the NHBRC, then I will have to approach the NHBRC and explain the problem that I'm having, and also they will then use the funds that they have specifically to say that it will take care of those problems. But also I must indicate that those houses that need to be rectified, that happened prior to 2002, the provinces are expected to seek the approval of the executive authority because it's not a given. There's no budget that is now earmarked for rectification. So provinces are expected to approach the executive authority with a reason why they need the rectification. That will be the approval process. But in addition to that as well, as I'm saying, there's no additional budget. It means the same allocation that is has been allocated to the provinces will be used for such purposes. The issue of social housing, the importance of social housing, I think all of us, we are in agreement that this is a program that needs to be enhanced. I must also indicate that we decide from the next financial year, if we look at how our budget structure has been approved by National Treasury, there is a specific program that also deals with social housing. That's how important it is, because that's a portfolio that needs to be elevated, as the Deputy Minister has indicated. In line with that, also certain programs like informal settlements upgrading, they have also been elevated to a program level that will assist both the National and the Provincial Department of Human Settlements to earmark certain programs that will have an impact and the positive outcomes of those programs. In order for all of us then to achieve this, then it requires us to work together as a sector, together with the Provincial Department of Human Settlements, right from the planning stage. As Honourable Chair, you would know that the business plans of the Provincial Department of Human Settlements, they are approved at National Department. So that's where then the alignment of all these targets, that are program-specific, needs to come out and there needs to be an alignment as to how we are going to deliver on the set target. Overall, Honourable Chairperson, I must indicate that our key responsibility in this regard is that we need to work together with, for example, housing departments to see how best also to contribute to how best the corrective implementation plan could be achieved. Because the hiccups that housing provincial department, for example, is experiencing, it affects the whole sector. So it is to our interest also to make sure that we assist the province, which we have done before. So what the positive part here is that already the diagnosis has already been indicated. So now what we need to work together is in terms of the implementation plan and how does it affect the plans going forward. That's a commitment that the National Department has. With your permission, Chairperson, then I will ask Joe from the PFO to talk to the budget.
Thank you, Theo, and thanks to Honorable Chair. The province has been allocated an amount of 5.1 million. I think it has been allocated on the one. And that is to say that for the period, in other words, we're looking for the period ending 31st of December 2019. We have allocated, of the allocated 5.1 million, 3.5 has been transferred to the province. The province has on that spent 3.2 billion, which is maybe 93% of the transfer fund. They indicate the number of programs which they spent on, and I think that is also going under the discussion. And that's why, Chair, we are still looking at between now and the end of the financial year, the performance that is expected of them, also the possibility of them being able to extend the allocation that is also for the program. So we don't have at the moment any sort of doubt that whatever engagement that we should undertake will not result in the province in which we shall have the set allocation. So we are continuously engaging with the province on the matter. So we are certain that the allocation that is there will actually be able to be spent, but more importantly, yield the expected outcome of the change. Thank you, Chair.
How can the department want to ask what the MEC expects as he has covered a lot of ground? So just as waiting in the
thank you, Chair. The MEC has covered all the ground. The only one might have been, but I think he covered it was the organizational design. We do have an organizational design team, but we are also now getting support from the Office of the President in terms of allocation of people that will assist us when we are working on the revision of the structure.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, thank you, Chair. I just want to make a follow-up on the issue of land. We've been told that National has land and also the municipalities do have land. But the only problem is that houses have not yet been built on those on that land which National and the municipality have. And the reason behind that is that that land has not yet been developed. For example, it doesn't have any infrastructure on it. That is why it has not yet been built from 2018 to 2019 and up to date. So my question is, how long that is going to take the municipalities or even National, you know, to develop that land to have infrastructure so that houses should be built on that land, because we do really have a very, you know, high need of houses in our state. Is there any time frame? Is it going to take 5 years for the municipalities, you know, to develop that land to have infrastructure so that houses should be built for people? Thank you, Chair.
Okay. I think mine is just that our funds from the National Department, but the National Department is not there, the computerized database of beneficiaries. So that the provinces and the national can correlate the information. And then I also want to find out how effective is the national oversight of use of grants to increase development.
Use them in the work that we have. And
development model is actually going to force all of their three levels or three spheres of government to actually work together and suspect the issue of infrastructure and of upgrading. And I think maybe because this was done last year, late last year, this district delivery model, it will change some of the standing blocks that are there. And again, maybe something that I did not raise, that those that have private land, they are now taking advantage of, because we need land to buy, they triple the price, they become too high, prices of land become too high. Like if you want to buy the land, they triple the price of land. So we have to negotiate and make sure that they bring those prices down in order for us to afford to buy those houses. And I think some of the issues that are raised here concerning budget, that's why when I come here, for the person in chair, I always bring the CFO because everything is about money. So I think the CFO must assist me in terms of the question which I have on budget issues.
Thank you once again. Chair, I think there were two questions that had to do dealing with the financial matters. I think the one had to do with how do we ensure collective efficient utilization of the country, and the second one had to do with the follow-up question to the allocation meant for the program. If I may, Chair, start with the latter, and that is to say the grant, the budget utilization. Chair, what I said was, the province is allocated 5.1 billion. And what we've done at the end of December, that is 31st December 2019, the end of the third quarter, we transferred 3.5 billion. Of that 3.5 billion, the province had already spent 4.2 billion. So therefore, that indicates that the 3.2 billion being spent is 93% of the transferred amount of 3.5 billion. That also equates to 63% of the 5.1 million allocated. Hence we said, after several engagements, and after the outcome of the minimum resolution in the principle, then we were certain that the province was given assurance that they will be able to utilize the funding that was awarded to them. And of course, that funding got to be accompanied by the agreed upon output, that is, housing opportunities that are expected to be delivered there. Chair, with regard to the oversight of grant utilization, there are several measures in place. First and foremost, if I may, Chair, we can go back to how do you then allocate a particular budget to a province. That is done after a business plan has been approved. So the business plan informs that budget, and it informs the cash flow that got to put in particular problem. The responsibility, therefore, of national departments, as so directed by the Division of Revenue Act, then states that we have to be able to follow up with that funding. That's one. The question is, how do we follow up? It is by means of the reports that need to be submitted by the province, the said province. Secondly, we also do undertake your oversight and monitor assistance to the particular provinces. We do have one-on-one engagements at the same time if ever we have noticed a particular concern of land expenditure. There are also minimum sessions that we do undertake. There is also performance reviews as we speak. The colleagues are taking in housing mission and undertaking that particular exercise. So there are several measures in place that we show that the grant resources that to a particular province will actually utilize the funding meant for that grant. Because we recall that the grants are actually governed by the Division of Revenue Act as well as the framework contained there. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
transformation agenda, then you just look for anything that may be required, I think, qualifies for transformation. So upfront, we need to plan a clear target in terms of transformation.
Delegate and the person that you delegate does not perform. very, very